It's been a while.
It certainly has, dude. How have you been?
Not too bad, boy. Can't complain.
Got some new digs.
Yep. We're in the new studio.
New sanctum. But hey, man, it's looking good.
Yeah.
You got moved in. You've got only a couple boxes off to the side.
Yeah, so. Well, we got more upstairs, but that's what the upstairs of the second bedroom was for storage. So.
Right. Well, we will get into it momentarily. It is January 7th. This is episode 117 of the Scary Dad Podcast. And this will be kind of a look back at 2018 and some New Year's, some resolutions for the new year.
Yes.
We did last week's episode. Scott was not available. We had a nice chat with our friend Rick Morgan from multiple podcasts all around.
Thanks for filling in, Rick.
And that was a good time, and we kind of just talked about a whole bunch of just random stuff. So it's time to get kind of the train back on the rails here going into the new year. So, but before we get started, let's, why don't, you know, I told everybody kind of where you were. But what's been going on, man?
Well, I started a new job, which has kept me very busy. I had 2 weeks of training, plus working also at the same time. So it's just been keeping me real busy, man. Just busy during the day and probably till about 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. But for anybody, you know, like whenever Rick came on last week, he's like, man, I didn't want to steal any thunder, but he really helped us out by filling in because Scott wasn't available, and I mean, like we already had Ricky booked for it, so it worked out really well. But this week we'll talk about just kind of like where the Scary Dad Podcast has been this last year and kind of like some of our highlights and some fun stuff and some of our favorites from 2018. And then some resolutions where we kind of want to, what we want to do with the show moving forward. So, before we get started, I've actually got a little bit of an announcement to make. It's a new project that I'm working on that is actually going to be going live this week. It's not a side project from Scary Dad at all. It is a completely separate and wholly different thing that I'm doing. But I'm starting a new podcast, and hopefully I won't be the only one doing the podcast. But the story behind this one is, in January of last year, actually in like December of last year, whatever, I made a resolution to really start getting serious about my writing.
Right.
And in 2018, I've had quite a bit of success with my writing. I've been getting paid for some stories. I've got some stuff picked up. I've got my name out there, and it's been really good. But along the way, I've joined several, basically Facebook groups of writers, and they're all networking groups. But what is common about them all is that a lot of the questions are the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain questions like, should I get an editor, or, you know, does anybody know a composer, or what should I do? You know, one of my stories was stolen by a YouTube narrator, and how do I go about getting that resolved? And there's just a whole bunch of similar style questions among multiple forums that as I was, you know, I'm participating in all of these, and I'm part of the groups. But it occurred to me, like, what if I was to make kind of just an anchor, a resource spot where we can have a whole bunch of different creatives. And I hate the word like creative community or artist collective or whatever, because to me that brings to mind a whole bunch of people sitting around talking about maybe getting around to it someday. And that's not what this is. This is actually going to be a conference of people who are actually doing it, sharing their knowledge and their experience with others who want to learn. So the name of the website and the podcast was actually going to, it's called Desk Ravens. You can go to deskravens.com, and if you go today, it will probably not have a coming soon page. It's got one right now as we speak because I'm building it behind the scenes before I actually launch it.
Okay.
But what's going to end up happening is I'm going to do a podcast maybe every other week where I will bring on somebody who's in the creative field who's hopefully doing it for a living or at least as a significant side hustle, and kind of talk to them about their process, you know, what they do, how they do it, how they go about getting things done. And it won't be just for writers. It'll be for composers and artists and all of the kinds of people that separately work that maybe want to get together and work on projects. You know, I need, like, for example, as a podcaster, I need somebody to compose bumper music for me. Where do I go to find that? Well, hopefully I can find some composers and we'll all kind of just have a talent dump in this spot.
Right.
So that's what the goal is, and that's actually going to be launching. My plan was for the first 2 weeks of January for it to actually launch, to have, you know, the first couple of episodes seated up through and into iTunes so it's live.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully by the time this episode of Scary Dad drops, you can hit all of the links and everything will be active. Yeah. And if it's not done by today, it should be done by next week. So that's my little aside on that, but that's a project that I got starting in the new year. And I think
At the time that this airs, it will have been a week almost that it's been released, but if you get a chance, check out the All Is Quiet mini episode from Sirenicide, which has dropped January 1st. My daughter is the sole voice actress on. She'll be doing the whole episode. But she has done it. She's recorded it. Johnny's been mixing it. What's interesting about it, I don't know if you're familiar with it or you saw any of his updates about it, but this episode drops on New Year's Day. And in the script, he uses every line from the song New Year's Day by U2 somewhere in the script.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty neat. It's kind of like a...
It's an homage.
That's awesome. To U2's New Year's Day. So
that's awesome. She just wanted to get into voice acting.
Yeah. She had talked to him about it at the Scary Dad show, and he dropped me a line and said, hey, I need a teenage girl for this part. She'd be interested, and she knocked it out of the park, man. She did great.
Awesome.
She's really looking forward to hearing it once all the sounds are mixed in and stuff and see how it came out. So she got in the box over at the Sirenicide house and did her thing.
Wonderful, dude. That's awesome. Well, without further ado, that's some of the announcements, and we'll get into some other stuff here momentarily, but first, I'm going to introduce Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
Okay. On this date in 1894, William Kennedy Dixon receives the patent for motion picture film. So, we're going to the movies.
Yes.
On this date in 1927, the first transatlantic telephone service between New York and London is established, which is essentially just one long cable that runs under the ocean or along the sea floor. And you imagine the animals down there are like, wow, that's interesting. What is that? Okay. Let's date in 1940, the Winter War. The Finnish 9th Division stop and completely destroy the numerically superior Soviet forces on the Rot-Simisali Road. Have you heard about that? The Finnish were not... They were not nice.
Okay.
When the Soviets decided they wanted to take over Finland, they put up a pretty good fight. Man, that cold weather war just trips me out. You imagine, like, no matter what... War is hell all the time, but whenever your feet are frozen, numb, and you can't breathe, and you got people on skis and stuff, it's just all the more bizarre.
Right.
So, all right, and this date in 1948, Kentucky Air National Guard pilot Thomas Mantell crashes his plane while in pursuit of a supposed UFO.
Straight out of Independence Day.
Yep. And in... The more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, it's been about, I guess, 9 or 10 years or whatever, but still. On this date in 1980, Jimmy Carter approves a $1.5 billion loan to bail out Chrysler. So those guys have been bailed out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they have. And they keep getting back into the... I'm not going to get political into it. But unions. You know, I'm not going to get political into it.
No, but... Well, that's what they say. It's like with the... You know, it's like, why are they always in debt? And it's like, well, at the Chrysler plant, if a robot falls over, they have to call six different people to come and set it back up. And at the Toyota plant, somebody just goes and sets it back up.
Right.
Like, all right. Notable births on this date. In 1903, actor Alan Napier, best known as Alfred in Batman 66.
Yeah.
Which naming Jack Napier in the Batman movie was kind of an homage to him. This date in 1912, this guy is a god to me, but Charles Adams, creator of the Adams family.
Yeah.
And in 1964, Nicolas Cage was born.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Man.
He's awesome.
You know, he really is. Like, he gets himself into some financial messes. But, like, we went on a tour in New Orleans, like, when my wife was pregnant. I don't think when she booked the vacation, she knew she was going to be pregnant, or maybe she did or whatever. But anyway, we happened to be in New Orleans, and she was pregnant, so she couldn't drink. And when she couldn't drink, then I was less inspired to drink myself. So instead, we did, like, the city tour type stuff, the kind of stuff that we normally don't do because we're just on the inside of a bar. And we got, you know, went on the whole city tour. But everywhere we went, they're like, that's something historical and haunted, and Nicolas Cage used to own it.
Well, yeah, when we talked about it on the podcast, the podcast a while back, we were talking about the murder house in New Orleans where the lady had killed all the slaves and everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Nicolas Cage owned that for a short time.
Yeah. And then he owned another one, and then Anne Rice bought it from him for cash whenever he got into financial trouble. You know, a couple million bucks. Like, right. Oh man, I'm in trouble. But he also owned, like, Action Comics number one.
I was about to say, does he have, like, multiple copies of Action Comics mm-hmm. number one? Yeah.
He likes to spend money. All right, notable deaths on this date in 1943. We lost Nikola Tesla, who kind of went obscure for a while, and then recently just kind of popped back up into the public eye.
Yeah, which we've actually got some new business about a Tesla, as a matter of fact.
All right.
We're talking about, so.
And then in 1989, Emperor Hirohito, the Japanese emperor who was in charge of things during World War II,
okay.
he passed away. It's interesting how the leaders always end up living long, peaceful lives and all their nations burned. But we're not going to get political. That's it for old business. So we're going to take a break, and we will be back with the new.
On a June night in 1980, Friday the 13th, 12 of her friends were murdered. Why should Friday the 13th, 1981, be any different? Friday the 13th, part 2. The body count continues. 14.
You're doomed. You're all doomed.
15.
God.
16.
Help!
17.
Sandra? Jeff?
the day you count on for terror is not over. Friday the 13th, Part 2.
Have you seen some of the viral videos going on right now with people losing their shit? There's two in particular I'm thinking of that have recently come out right now. One is the guy in the vape shop that loses his mind on the Donald Trump supporter. Have you seen that one? Mm-hmm. I'll show you that one later. But the other one is the transgendered woman at GameStop. Have you seen that one? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I've got to show you this one. But just a funny comment on it, and I'm sure a lot of you folks have seen it already. It's this transgendered woman that's in GameStop. And she's losing her shit to this guy because he called her sir. And the thing about it is, I would have probably done the same thing by accident, because other than having long hair and a pink Bebe jacket, it was a man. I mean, it just sounded like, his voice sounded like James Gunn from Silence of the Lambs. No joke. And she starts screaming about she wants corporate's number, and I'm thinking, because she's free, because the guy like accidentally calls her sir, and she starts kicking boxes around, and she's like, "I'll take you outside and show you a sir." But I'm imagining her calling corporate and saying, "Yes, I have a problem with store such and such," and the person says, "Well, sir, can we help you out?" Because the voice is obviously male.
That's gonna turn into a man. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll show you those videos. All right, Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, to our listeners, I've been away for a while, so we haven't had a chance to talk about some of these things, but we'll start off with a couple of deaths that we've had as of late. First one being Donald Moffat, which these two deaths, both of them are just two movies that mean a lot to the Scary Dad guys. But Donald Moffat, he's had over 120 roles, you know, total. But one that we know him the best as is Gary in John Carpenter's The Thing.
He doesn't want to be tied to this chair anymore.
Yeah, well, this is his awesome line. I know you gentlemen have been through a lot, and when you find the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch. Yeah, he was excellent as Gary. He died at the age of 87, complications related to a recent stroke. So he has passed away. And secondly, we've lost Steve Dash, who we recently met at Texas Frightmare 2018. He was an awesome guy. I've seen all kind of stories people have come out with about him. He was apparently an ornery old guy. He was just a tough old Hollywood stuntman.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we met him, like, I don't know if you and I met him together. I think
we were separate. You were in another line. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I told the story about how, like, it was Ted White from Part 4 and Kane Hodder were kind of joshing back and forth about whose movies are the favorite or whatever. Well, and Steve Dash, he's sitting over there quietly writing the real Jason on all of the autographs. Yeah. And I thought, you know, it was cracking me up, you know, and... But he was very appreciative. He was very talkative.
Yeah.
Very friendly. He was taking time to take pictures, and you know, just one of the cooler. I mean, all of them were cool, but he was just, you know, very much a class act. And apparently, just finding out that he was also in chronic pain from having issues with diabetes and stuff. And I'm sure being a stuntman doesn't leave you. Outside of needing some ibuprofen on an average day, but complications from that. But man, he was a really, really nice guy.
Right. And for those that don't know, he portrayed Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 2. He was the first adult Jason. He was the potato sack Jason, which I've always found to be the scariest.
And we can say, yeah, I think, you know, we can argue favorite movies, we can argue favorite mask, whatever, but Part 2 is probably the scariest of the series.
And he was Jason. He wasn't zombie Jason. He was Jason Voorhees, coming of age. He died after complications from a long battle with diabetes. He even recently had his leg amputated and had been keeping people updated on social media, like me and you were talking about, and apparently took a turn for the worse and passed away at 74 years old. So, R.I.P. Mr. Dash. He said, excellent. Great guy. I'm very glad that I got to meet him before he passed away. Okay, Tesla. You know how they have that autopilot function on cars and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently this drunk driver decided to crank up that autopilot on his Tesla and actually slept while drunk behind the wheel for 7 miles.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty damn impressive. Police spotted the gray Model, Model S belonging to Alexander Semik on the Los Altos. He's the chair of the Los Altos Planning Commission. He was doing 70 miles per hour on Highway 101. It was in California. This was above the speed limit. Officers pulled up alongside the car and noticed that he was sleeping. Leading them to assume it was on autopilot mode. Once they finally got him to pull over, he was just totally unresponsive, trashed, hit, threw it on autopilot and tried to see how far it could go. And apparently he went for somehow 7 miles.
Wow.
On autopilot. But that's not what it's supposed to be used for, people. Hey, I do not recommend you try this at home.
But it worked. So if you're putting ethanol, which is alcohol,
yep,
into your gas tank of your autopilot Tesla, it's technically driving drunk. Right. So I saw a video recently, and I don't know how long ago it was, but there's some football player, I think he was playing for the Chargers, and he was driving an Escalade, and I guess he realized he was too drunk, or he crashed it into a pole or something, and he crashed the SUV. And so then he went, and this is on police video. The policeman drives up, and they see the crashed Escalade, and the tailgate's open. And then they drive a little further, and there's this huge black man on this little electric scooter, and he's not driving it well. He's like crashing into the curb and stuff.
Please tell me he looked like that old Guinness picture of the two fat guys on the
pretty bucket. Much. Yeah. And they finally and he hits the curb and he falls, and he's sitting there trying to pick up the scooter and get started again, and like the cop car pulls up on him, and like there's two cop cars, one's filming, and the other guy pulls up, and the guy he's like, I done wrong. I'm sorry. He's like, I'm not trying to hurt nobody. But it was hilarious because the dude like crashed his car. He's like, well, I'm on the scooter. This, yeah.
God. That's a kid's Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Okay. A recent half marathon in China is under investigation right now. After traffic cameras caught runners cutting through trees at a half marathon in China, they basically cut off about 1.2 to 1.9 miles off the total run. But of the 16,000 people, it's estimated that 258 runners had cheated taking this shortcut. And there's pictures. I don't have any of the pictures, but from where the traffic cameras were, it was so funny because you could see just this mass of people. Because you couldn't see it from outside, but from above in the trees, you could see all these people cutting through this shortcut. They're just blending back in with the runners. Go ahead and keep going, dude. While it was a small percentage, it's still pretty
funny. I think it's funny, though. I mean, I would cut a mile or two off if I could. Anyway. Running a mile sucks.
Okay, Pensacola. You can guess what's going on, what I'm about to talk about. You know it's going to be good. Christopher Dahl Newman was arrested for numerous offenses, including home invasion, battery, burglary, larceny, and criminal mischief. He was a busy man that night. 32-year-old man was found drunk and shirtless. He was arrested after barging into a number of Pensacola homes looking for a fight. Basically, he was kicking in doors and wanting to rumble. He was Russell Crowe with no shirt in Pensacola, basically. Wow. Just looking to rumble with somebody. He began his rampage by kicking open a gate on Langley Avenue, approaching a woman who was sitting outside her trailer, and punching her in the side of the head before damaging a ladder and the exterior door of the residence. He then moved on to the next house, where he allegedly fell through an open front door. One of the residents grabbed a hammer and ordered him to leave after he allegedly left the trailer park, yelling he would come back and burn the trailer down. He then went to a nearby apartment complex and began knocking on an apartment door. The resident answered, and the shirtless Norman began yelling at the residents to fight him. Fight me! Fight me! When the resident closed, locked the door, he began to ram the door with his shoulder, causing damage to the residents. Then he walked over to another residence, walked through an unlocked door, began yelling for the apartment's two male occupants to fight him before chasing the victims around a table. Unable to catch him, he threw a lamp and he missed. He then grabbed a slice of pizza before chasing one of the victims into a bedroom, snatching a phone from the victim. Who has a landline still? The guy grabbed the landline to call 911. So yeah, this guy had one hell of a night.
Dude. What takes the cake is grabbing the pizza.
I'm going to have a slice real quick. I'm
running around, kicking in the doors, trying to get people to fight me, but grabbing a little snack along the way.
Okay, I'm not sure if you heard about this little sixth grader in Buffalo, New York, who apparently hasn't heard the phrase, snitches get stitches.
Uh-oh.
College student from Buffalo, New York was surprised to find his car had been dented last week, but he was even more shocked by a note that was left on his car. The note wasn't left by the driver that hit him, but rather someone that could have been responsible for it. The note reads, "If you're wondering what happened to your car, bus 499 hit your car." Read a handwritten note left by the kid. He also put, "It stops here every day to drop me off at 5 p.m.
Oh, no.
Then the writer said, "Want to know what happened? She was trying to pull off and hit the car. She hit and run. She tried to veer over and squeeze through but couldn't. She did squeeze through but made a dent, and I saw what happened. I'm sorry." And the kid actually wrote a note, drew a picture of the bus, and put $4.99 and signed a letter, a sixth grader at Houghton Academy. So the guy just camped out the next day, waited for the bus to show up, and was able to catch him. But yeah, this cute little kid actually drew a note.
That is beautiful.
All right, you've heard of Jack Spratt and his wife that could eat no lean, right? Real life Jack Spratt and his wife that couldn't eat lean led to a tragedy. Woman is pled guilty to killing her boyfriend by stabbing him, hitting him with a table leg, and then crushing him under the weight of her 300 pounds.
Oh, Lord.
Wendy Thomas of Erie, Pennsylvania, faces a sentence of 18 to 36 years after pleading guilty to third-degree murder. 44-year-old Thomas admitting to killing Keno Butler last March by partially laying on top of him. Thomas weighs about 300 pounds, while the 44-year-old Butler weighed 120.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thomas was reportedly drunk and wanted to smoke crack when the pair got into the argument that ended in Butler's death. So she was a 300-pound crackhead.
Wow.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, how does that work?
Butler, who went by the name Loco, survived by a daughter and two grandchildren, his mother, and nine siblings. But yeah, he, Jack Spratt has passed.
There's
away.
Certain ways that people die, and I always have this, like, remember the Ren and Stimpy? Remember the Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence?
Yeah.
And they had the song about Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence. And then somebody whizzed on the electric fence, and he's standing in front of St. Peter, and St. Peter's like, "Oh, whizzed on the electric fence, huh?" ways certain people die, I just imagine them standing at the pearly gates, and Peter's like, looks up from
you
his
did
book,
what?
Just like shakes his head. Like, you were dating a 300-pound crackhead, and you didn't think it was going to end badly.
MTV has announced it is bringing back that last ran in 2002 Celebrity Deathmatch. It is official. Celebrity Deathmatch is getting a reboot, and it will still be in claymation. It is not going to be changed to some kind of CGI animation.
So probably a million people every day lament the fact that MTV doesn't actually play videos anymore. And yet in their writing room, they're like, what should we do to really breathe life into our network? Let's bring back a defunct, crappy show.
Let's reboot Remote Control.
Yeah, let's reboot an old claymation TV show from, you know, 20 years ago. Yeah, that'll do it.
So Ice Cube is getting on board to executive produce and lead the voice cast of the series. He'll basically be the ring commentator for the show. So Celebrity Deathmatch is making a comeback. Could be worse. Could be 16 and pregnant or something stupid like that.
Yeah,
I don't even know if they're still on. I just know that.
I think they had to stop it because chicks are actually getting pregnant on purpose
just to
so
be,
they
on
can
it.
Be on this show.
And I realize that Christmas has passed, but did you hear about the satanic sculpture that was in the Illinois State House?
There's so many of those going on right now, but what happened?
According to the Illinois Secretary of State's office, the temple has the same rights as religious organizations, so when the local satanic church came over and said, "We want to have our own little scene," They had no choice but to go ahead and allow them. So several traditions were being celebrated. There's a nativity scene for Christmas. There was a menorah for Hanukkah. And then there was an arm holding an apple with a snake coiled around it. The gift from the Chicago branch of the Satanic Temple called Snaketivity. The work has a sign that reads, "Knowledge is the greatest gift." So it's a neat little sculpture that they have right there next to the menorah and the nativity scene. Yeah, let me see if I have anything else. Oh, here's another one. I don't know if you heard about this, but the studio Legendary Entertainment has announced that they are remaking The Toxic Avenger, which I'm not sure how I feel about yet.
Yeah.
So it'll be it's not going to be a reboot. It's going to be a sequel. Lloyd Kaufman is involved in it. It's going to be in the fifth installment of the Toxic Avenger franchise. So we'll see how that goes.
Which the original Toxics were all trauma films.
Trauma,
right?
Films, yep. Yep. So yeah, so we got that to maybe look forward to. I'm not sure. Oh, I got one more. Okay. Did you hear about...
You do know we were doing two episodes today, right?
I know. It's
like,
been a while.
We got a lot of stuff.
It's been a while.
No, I mean,
I'm real,
just like, don't blow it all on one show.
Okay.
We got time. We're good.
Did you hear about that priest in Brazil that's like being charged with like 500 counts of rape?
Uh-uh.
The people that are... Okay. There's this... what's his name? Let me find it. His last name is Faria. They called him like John of God. John Faria. They called him John of God. He got picked up by the police, and they were the investigators were questioning him. And all of a sudden, all these weird events started happening in the police station. And they said it was so weird because John of God was just sitting at the table calm as things were happening. It's some of the stuff that was happening. The police that are involved in the questioning are saying that they think it may be linked to the cult. First of all, with the police court clerk who was supposed to transcribe the testimony ended up getting run over by a car and broke his arm on the way to the police station. Because of that incident, they had to move the interview to another police station to get someone else to be able to transcribe and everything. Let's see, Friday. I'm sorry, I should have had this ready to go. Harvard professionals admitted they started praying when a news agency photographer in the press pack suddenly fell ill and lost consciousness for a few minutes. Many were reluctant. Where's the good stuff? Wait, I'll just go ahead and summarize it. Essentially, they were in there, and all of a sudden, they're sitting in a room, and the refrigerator blew up. Okay, a spark started coming from the back of it. Then there was a microwave, also in another section, that also all of a sudden turned on, and then that caught on fire. All while this guy is just sitting at the table staring at the investigators like this, but all this weird supernatural occult shit started going off. But they finished the questioning. They got it through, but yeah, this John of God guy, apparently.
He's got these
cops in Brazil freaked out.
We'll have to keep up with this one.
Yeah, I gotta just try to find some more on it, dude. I'll end it there. I've been rambling on for long enough. God, there's so much more to talk about, but I'll save it for the next episode. All right.
We good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break real quick.
Okay.
And we'll come back.
All right.
Mystic places, psychic phenomena, unnatural experiences. All sources of fascination and speculation. Now read Mystic Places, the book that helps unlock the secrets of the ages. What are the signs of a lost land reappearing? Was this an ancient spaceship runway used by aliens? Read Mystic Places, free for 10 days. Keep it for $12.99. Other volumes will follow from Mysteries of the Unknown, the Time Life series that sold over 2 million books.
And we're back.
Here we are.
Okay, so what was your highlights of 2018? We had quite a few. We did a lot of good stuff.
The horror related was definitely Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Certainly.
Yeah, that was just huge, and I can't wait to get back there. Which in the next episode, we'll talk about what they have coming up for 2019, of course. But
yeah, what they've already announced, much less what they're going to continue to announce.
Yeah, they've got at least 6 more guests that we'll be announcing. So. But yeah, that was just incredible.
Yeah. That I told you because the year before I was only up there for a couple, 3 hours maybe. Yep. You know, I went in there, got some autographs and shopped around and was just completely taken by the entire spectacle. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming home and telling you about it and you have a history of working in cons, and you know, you're a vendor and a dealer, and you know, you work for Comicpalooza, and you were just like, yeah, I know. I'm like, no, dude, you don't.
It's an experience, man. Like nothing else for sure.
And just the people, all of the people there are just so cool.
Like the bucket list guests, dude. It was
phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we got to meet Steve Dash, and yep. Which was his first appearance there, and obviously can't come back. But, you know, that's one of those things, you know, in 2018, you know, we lost Stan Lee, and I never got a Stan Lee autograph. And we talked about the different reasons people get autographs, whether they're going to slab it and CGC it and just, you know, they're going to put it up for collector's value or whatever. But I kind of regret not getting a Stan Lee just, you know, on a Spider-Man book or something. I mean, I'm wearing a Spider-Man t-shirt right now, you know. Spider-Man and, well, all of the Marvel characters, but specifically Spider-Man, Cap, and the Hulk are foundational to who I am as a person, you know. That's like, I remember being a little kid and being sick at home. Like, I had a cold or, you know, the flu or something. And my parents went to Walgreens to get cold medicine. They came back with this Spider-Man coloring book, and it was just like, made everything better.
Yep.
And, you know, another time we evacuated Houston because there was a hurricane coming. So we went down south to my grandparents' house, and the hurricane turned and hit them directly instead of Houston. So we were in a hotel, and the power went out, so the elevators didn't work. We were like on the 8th floor of this hotel, and there was nothing to do. But I had a Spider-Man coloring book and a Hulk coloring book. And Hulk coloring books got a little boring because there's not much to do except for green.
Green and purple.
But you know, like, but my earliest memories are of Stan Lee creations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. Don't collect it because you're going to turn it around and flip it on eBay. But if there's somebody that you want to meet and shake their hand and just say thank
you. Something that means something to you.
For, you know, thank you for just being around.
Yeah.
Thank you for your art. You know, go ahead and get that autograph because, you know, who knows?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But look at what Bernie. You know,
exactly.
He finally started doing cons again. I got to go and, you know, let him know what he meant to me. Have him sign a few personal things, and next thing I know, he passes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, Texas Frightmare, and not even just the ones we lost, but just the brilliance of, you know, the way that it's run and the people that are there and the volunteers. And
it's a great experience, man.
It's incredible. I don't think I'm going to make it back this year, but I'm going to table it for the following year for sure. For me, man, I had a lot of stuff going on in 2018. You know, we did year two of
Scary Dad Show
of the show, and the weird messed up hotel kind of added a little bit to the ambiance. Also, kind of messed up some things. But overall, that went swimmingly, so we're going to redo that one.
Yeah. You know,
we're going to do it again. I'm going to start searching for some hotels. I need to find that kind of old
school. The perfect place to be.
Yeah. Try to find that old ballroom that, you know, they don't make hotels with the ballrooms like that anymore.
Right.
Because now they have all those conference centers.
Yeah.
So we need to find a good old school hotel that's going to be around for a while and not modernized. But yeah, so look, man, let's see. What else happened? I had my first paid publications come out and had a couple of them. We met quite a few new friends through the show. So, you know, that we'll be working together with, you know, like the guys from Kingwood Asylum.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an event together hopefully here in the next. I'm going to reach out. I wanted to let the holidays kind of mellow.
Pass, yeah.
But reach out to them and try to get something set up for the spring. But yeah, 2018 was a good year. It was a busy year, and it seemed to just fly by.
Right.
Let's see, what else did we do? We finally got to meet the Helmeen guys.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky and Danny.
Got to record an episode with them and everything.
Up at Frightmare. You know, Frightmare kind of seems to be the pivot on which everything spins.
And we built strong relationships with, well, Jesse Detman, of course, we got with them, Detman's Tone. Built a strong relationship with Johnny Stitches over at Sirenicide.
Yep, we got,
which is going well.
You know, Sirenicide kind of just came out of the blue as far as you know, I met Johnny through the writers group, mm-hmm. and come to find out that not only is he local, but he's got a tremendous podcast, and you know, his family is just awesome.
Yeah,
like just the whole Sirenicide family is killer.
Yeah.
So and we joke around. It's like whenever they're not doing horrible medical experiments on people, they're just kind of some good down to earth people.
We also had a really good Comic Palooza this year with you participating in a panel, and then also mm-hmm. in the podcast booth this year.
Yeah, that was great. We did. I sat a panel with Chris and Amy from yeah. the Dudes and Beer and Yes But Why podcasts, and through our Q&A, we met some folks who were asking questions and stuff, and ended up meeting the guys from I Am Geek podcast mm-hmm. and the Gentleman No Class, as well as the Movie Gap. They started off, you know, how have you not seen this? But mm-hmm. there was already one called that, so they changed it to the Movie Gap. But that's funny if you've never heard that. Like this poor guy has never seen anything. Like their first episode was Die Hard. It was like, how have you not seen Die Hard? But no, that's a fun show. They're doing really well, and
good.
You know, they have content rolling pretty good. Mm-hmm. So that's good stuff. Let's see, what else do we do in 2018? I'm gonna look back some of our episodes here. We started the Fresh Eyes.
Yeah. Which is a fun series.
Something we started talking about pretty much when we started the show, and we just always had content, so we never really got around to it. But
mm-hmm. But we always rewatch these movies anyway, so
yeah. Well, and it's like one of those things, like the rules of Fresh Eyes are that it's got to be something you've seen before. So if it's not like a Movie Gap, if it's something you haven't seen, then it doesn't count. You have to watch something, and preferably something you've seen a lot of. But then you put it in as if you've never seen it before, and you start watching for details, and it really kind of makes the movies come alive.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do a Ghostbusters one, but I watched Ghostbusters.
Yeah, we need to do that one.
And the thing that was so striking is Lewis Tully, Rick Moranis' character, is, you know, he's funny. Never really thought about him much. He's just kind of there. But then whenever you're paying attention, I can't understand how anybody could possibly be in the same room with him and not just fall down laughing. It just, every scene he's in is just hilarious.
He's a great comedic actor, man.
Yes. And it was just so, so funny. And, you know, just kind of adds a new appreciation to Ghostbusters, which is a movie I've seen, I'm going to say probably 100 times easily, and just never paid attention. Which brings me to the whole Die Hard as a Christmas movie debate. Did you see the meme that's like, Die Hard's a Harry Potter movie?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Somebody, because people will argue that Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. And fair enough, you can have your arguments one way or the other. But the people who don't think it's a Christmas movie seem to get pretty triggered about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I have friends with a couple of them.
They seem to get kind of upset. So this dude on Twitter posted, he's like, Die Hard's a Harry Potter movie. And somebody was like, how so? He goes, he crawls around the secret passages of a building trying to avoid Alan Rickman. It's a Harry Potter movie. And, it's like, fair enough. We can start calling it a Harry Potter movie, too.
But whatever it is, it's a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
It is for damn sure.
But no, I think Fresh Eyes is something we need to do more of.
Yeah. Then we can make a list of movies that we could do. Ghostbusters, The Fly, which we've been talking about.
Yeah, just and some of those episodes are just really fun, just to prep for it. You know, it's like, oh, this means I get to watch The Thing. Cool. <You know? laughs> So, and then as we've been hunting for old VHS, you notice that there's some scenes that you haven't seen in a while because they've cut them or changed them or whatever. Like, I don't know if you noticed this. Like, in the theatrical release of the Tim Burton Batman, it was in the trailers, but whenever Batman crashes that art museum mm-hmm. and he comes in, he saves Kim Basinger, and he zip lines out the building.
Yeah.
And Jack's like, where does he get those wonderful toys? They cut it right there. But in the original movie, he's like, he asks, where does he get those wonderful toys? And all the henchmen stand around, like, considering, like, maybe Walmart or something. And
right.
He's like, well, go ask him. And, like, sends them on their way. And then, like, they all kind of tear out after him. But that scene is cut from most current releases. But if you find the old VHS, it's still in there.
Okay.
So it's like sometimes you see
scenes. I got the old VHS somewhere around here. So
sometimes you see scenes that were cut for length or time, you know, whatever. So the Fresh Eyes is a lot of fun, especially on the old formats.
Right.
I've got a couple that I'm looking for now, if I can find. I want to get still Near Dark, if I can find
I've been looking for one of those.
An old Near Dark and One Crazy Summer.
Okay.
Because apparently John Cusack didn't like that movie, and it's not in print anymore.
Really?
Yeah, you can't get it. You can't find it easily.
I've watched it recently on Amazon Prime, but other than that, I haven't seen one in a long time. That's a great movie.
It is.
Why would he like that? Is he mad at Bobcat?
Honestly, I don't. Like, I think it was a contractual thing. Like, they brought him in on it, and he didn't want to do it to begin with. And so he talked shit about it, and he kind of made some bad blood with the director. And, like, he's dialed it back since. But there's a reason why it's not in print anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't. I mean, which is weird, because then he did Better Off Dead, which was
similar,
pretty much the same movie. Yeah. Same director, same style. Just go that way really fast. If something gets in your way, turn.
This whole mountain is snow.
It's pure, you know, what the street value is. Yeah, I've got that one at home. I think I'll watch that one.
I got that one too. It's such a good movie.
Such a shame somebody be throwing away a perfectly good white boy like that. Let's see. What else did we do in 2018? We kind of went through all of our creature features.
Yeah.
We
did the Universal Monsters and everything.
Yeah, I think we got most of them. We did Frankenstein, Dracula, Creature.
The Werewolf.
Probably could do the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Let's see. God, I'm already back in 2017. Crazy stuff. With all of our... One of our highlights was the Weekly World News episode. That one was fun.
Yeah, it was
fun.
A great one.
Might want to revisit that one again. Because right. There was more to talk about.
I was thinking of some big movies for 2018, too. There was Halloween remake, which I still haven't seen, but you saw that one.
Yes, and Ricky and I were talking about that one because he hadn't seen it yet, and I didn't want to spoil it for him, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but the conversation that he and I were having, and he pointed out something that's absolutely true, but just it's funny to me that, especially when you get on Twitter, social media, people, you know, just conversationally, people will talk about how they don't like just mindless slashers and, you know, whatever. But in the end, Halloween had like four bloodless victims killed by a mindless slasher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horror movie royalty. And then with the new Halloween, they went and basically did that same formula. They're not bloodless and there's more victims, but basically just the same relentless slaughter for no real good reason. And people wanted to kind of pan it a little bit. It's like, well, you can't have it both ways. Like, if there's a story behind Michael Myers, if there's a reason why he's doing what he's doing, if it's because of child abuse with the Rob Zombie one or because of a Celtic curse or whatever it is, the more motive you give him, the less frightening he becomes.
Yes.
And so in the new one, they removed all of the motives and just made him
a killing machine.
A quiet killing machine again. And I thought it worked. Like, it just... Old school formula, and I had a blast. So highly recommend Halloween.
Now some of the other ones from this past year that I haven't seen also was Hereditary and Quiet Place.
I haven't seen those either. I hear nothing but good stuff about Quiet Place. I hear mixed reviews on Hereditary. Everybody knows with the wife and the kids that are either too young or just can't handle horror that I have to watch this stuff by myself. I did manage to make it through all 10 episodes of Haunting of Hill House.
Which was great.
And to me, that was a highlight of the year. That was the best show.
That's good stuff.
Horror or not, that was one of the best TV series I think I've ever seen. It was just phenomenal. And then add the horror element into it.
Right.
And
just makes it all
put
better.
It all over the top. And a little aside, I follow the director, Mike Flanagan, and the actress, Kate Siegel, on Twitter. They're married, actually. And Kate Siegel played Theodore, the middle sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they're married, Flanagan and Siegel. And they recently had a baby, and they named the baby Theodora. So the baby, it'll be little baby Theo. But, you know, because obviously they had a rousing success with that series. So I'd like to see where the next, where season two goes.
Because
there's a lot of history in that house.
Right. Well, it's like we talked about, it may not involve the house at all anymore. They may actually go a totally different route. But you can imagine the same type of feel to it.
The same mood.
Right.
Or even, you know, it could be in the past.
I actually want to rewatch it because I want to find all the hidden things that I didn't see the first time, because I know there's tons of stuff there in the background that I didn't see.
Well, that's one of those things too, because I was talking with my brother-in-law Colin. I was like, yeah, you know, the one of the scarier scenes in Hill House is when Luke got into the dumbwaiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, why would you do that when you know the house is haunted and blah blah blah. I was like, he was supposed to go up. They didn't know that room down there existed. So that it shouldn't have gone down. And if it did go down, it was only going to go into the cabinet. It wasn't going to go drop into the floor.
Different room, right.
But that scene was so terrifying. Yeah. You know, especially looking through the eyes of a 6-year-old boy. Oh, crap. so many great scenes in that movie. And, I think I'm going to binge watch that one again.
Yeah, I want to check it out again for sure. Got to get ready too, because I'm sure that I need to rewatch some Stranger Things, because I'm sure that's going to be coming up.
Yeah, that'll be coming up probably near Halloween, I think. Which is,
they've been filming it for a while though, so it shouldn't be too much longer.
Well, and then we've got some resolutions, so some stuff that want to do for coming up into. Into the new year. For me personally, I'm definitely going to hit the gas on the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of projects that are in various stages of done. I don't know when, by the time this episode drops, it might already be released, but I've got a Haunted Mall anthology that I edited and compiled that's supposed to be out in early January.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another couple of different things coming out. I've got three books coming out in the first three months, in January, February, March.
Okay.
So
awesome, man.
That's a good way to start. So starting this Desk Ravens project to try to pull together some talent and, you know, network. And so I'll be busy bee on a couple of side projects for our show. Got to pour a little bit of money into some promotion and try to get some more guests.
Right. That's the big thing for me for this coming year is to work on actually getting some guests for the Scary Dad show. We got some history behind us now, so hopefully that'll help. Also, we both are going to hopefully be involved with Severn Side a little bit more this year and actually do a little bit of voice acting for one of their mini episodes coming up, which will be fun.
Did you talk to him about some of that stuff?
Yeah.
Because he's got... he did our intro theme music. Johnny wrote our new intro music. And at that time, we had talked about doing some stuff, but then both of us got really busy with our own projects, and so I hadn't had a chance to circle back around.
Yeah, so we'll get back around to that for sure,
because
that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And also, just if we decide to do a new event, another event in spring, looking forward to that. It just... bringing the Scary Dad brand a little bit out more. Of course, I'll be hitting Texas Frightmare Weekend this year with Amy, so it'll be her first time going to something like that.
Nobody will be giving you a hard time about the single bed. what's your intentions here, yeah? But yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much covers it for the 2018 recap and some quick resolutions.
Yeah. Expect to see more of us in a bigger way.
Yeah, probably now that, you know, We've talked about Scott and his new job. He's also got new digs, and so he lives a little bit further away. So getting together as often as we have face-to-face might be a little bit difficult. And so we've been talking about alternatives, and a couple of those alternatives, what it's going to turn out to be is he or I may do individual metas with guests, depending mm-hmm. on, you know, what we can get done. So,
don't forget 2019, just to bring this up also, we got the Paranormal Symposium we're going to be a part of.
True.
That's something to look forward to. And also the next Eastern Rim is going to be coming up, which I got to get with Jacob and do a little interview with him. So
certainly
get that promoted too.
Awesome. But yeah, I mean, we got a lot of stuff in the hopper, a lot of stuff coming soon. And so just look forward to a lot of good stuff coming from us in 2019. And with that, I believe that is a show. So let's go ahead and cut it there, and we will see you next week.
Later.
Ha 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 ha!